Do you believe that this morning?
Amen. Canaan land is just in sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I want to look at verse 7 in particular. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 7. Hallelujah. Lord willing, maybe next week, Lord willing, I will deal with the former part of verse 7, how nation shall rise against nation. Wars, and back in verse 6 where it says wars and rumors of wars, especially as it pertains to Israel and the attack upon Israel and the coming attack upon Israel. Lord willing, Sunday night I will try to deal with that. There are a lot of things going on in this world. Amen. There are a lot of things that are pointing to the way of Jesus Christ coming back. And Brother Craig, I can look off in the distance and see Canaan land is just in sight. Amen. I can look off in the distance and see that the Lord is coming back soon. I want to look at verse 7, if I can, this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 7. If you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Jesus says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." I want to take the latter part of verse 7, if I can, and just preach a little bit on how it relates to the end times. I want to preach just a message that's simply entitled, "Famines and Pestilence and Earthquakes." I know that doesn't excite a whole lot of people, but it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen, and we need to be prepared. In fact, it's happening right now, if you paid any attention. It's happening right now. And the reason why it is happening right now, and it is happening more prevalent now than it has been in days gone by, is because it is setting the stage for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ is going to come back in all of His glory. And we talked about two comings, and that is the fact that one, Christ is coming for His saints. This is called the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the rapture. In the Latin, it's the word rapture there. It's the same word, caught up. That's He's coming for His saints. But then in Revelation 19, and even in the latter part of this chapter in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, starting in verse 15, Jesus talks about the fact of the great tribulation. And the second coming is that He's coming with His saints. That when He comes back, it is going to be a grand and glorious parade, if I can use that term, in which Jesus Christ will come back to set up His millennial kingdom. Amen. And we're looking forward to that day. Right now, I just want to deal with looking forward to the coming for His saints and when the dead in Christ are going to rise and how God is getting us ready for the coming of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now. God, we ask You, O Lord God, that You will move in this service today. I pray, God, that You will anoint. For God, I cannot preach without Your anointing. God, I pray once again, Lord God, have mercy, O Lord Jesus, and come, Lord God, Father God, as the Scripture says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, O God. Father God, we love You and praise You in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. All throughout the Bible, you can look and you can see examples of how God used natural disasters to get across what He needed to get across. All throughout the Bible, you can examine everything from Genesis to Revelation in various occurrences. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about famines and pestilences and earthquakes, are the natural disasters that God uses throughout the Bible. And He has used natural disasters throughout this day and age that we live in. And furthermore, God will use natural disasters in the midst of the
end times and preparing for the coming of the Lord. You don't have to read very far, but into the book of Revelation, and you will see massive natural disasters that will take place during the great tribulation period and the time of the great tribulation period. To understand this, that Jesus said that he is the same for today, yesterday, today, and forever. Actually, the book of Hebrews says that about Christ, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what he was then, he is now, and what he is now, he will forevermore be. If God used natural disasters and things of the world to judge and to condemn the world, what makes you think he's not doing that right now? Amen? Oh, I know we hear it from TV evangelists and people that ain't got a backbone of a jellyfish. I mean, that's all they've got. It's just a simple jelly-like backbone. They ain't really got no backbone. They'll say, oh, that God is love and that God would never issue out punishment and God would ever issue out these kind of condemnations. But if he did it in the book, surely he's doing some of that right now. And surely furthermore, he will continue to do that. Watch this. Because we need to look at what's going on. And we need to examine biblically. And we need to examine historically. And then we need to examine eschatologically, which is the reference to the end time events. Watch this. Because here is the biblical purpose of these famines and these pestilence and earthquakes. First of all, let's define what they are. First of all, a famine is a shortage of food. That's what a famine is. It's a lack of food. Usually it's caused by drought. Usually it's caused by a lack of rain. A lot of times it's caused by war. But that's what a famine is. Pestilence is any kind of insect or kind of rodent kind of infestation. And we'll deal with some examples in just a moment. And then of course an earthquake is simply that in itself. It's the shaking of the earth or any kind of other natural disaster. Floods and fires and all kinds of other things that would be considered a natural disaster. God used natural disasters to make a point in the Bible. Watch this, because the Bible talks about in 1 Kings chapter 17, where there is a famine in the land in the days of Elijah. God spoke through Elijah and said there will be no rain in the midst of the land. Why? Because of the wicked King Ahab and the wicked doings of Israel at that time. God was using the famine in the land. In fact, in chapter 18 and verse 1, it talks about this famine that God uses, and it talks about the fact that they were without food. But how many of you understand that even in the midst of famine and even in the midst of drought, God still is able to provide? For I remember that Elijah went down to the brook called Cherith and was able to enjoy the meat of the land even until that brook dried. Then he went down to the woman of Zarephath, and he went down there and she fed him just a little bit. In fact, we know it was a famine because all she had was just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and she told him, and she said, I'm going to make this for my family, and then we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, no, honey, if you'll make me the first cake, then you'll have enough for your family, that God would provide more and more and more. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happened, that even in the midst of famine, God was faithful. God was faithful. Pestilence. The greatest thing I can think of is in Exodus chapter 9, verse 14, when Moses is trying to get his people out of Egypt and out of bondage. And in the midst of all of that, God sends insects and rodents. I mean, can you imagine that you're an Egyptian person and you wake up to a bed full of frogs? You wake up to a house full of rodents, that you wake up to all kinds of pestilence, fleas and insects and all kinds of things. Some of you women that don't like bugs and everything, you probably go crazy in the midst of all of this. But God used it as a judgment upon the nation of Egypt to say, let my people go. How many of you understand that's still the cry of God today? That's why we see so many natural disasters today. God is saying, why don't you come out of that mess that you're living in? Look at the signs of the times. Even the astrologers are able to see the signs of the time and know certain things. But can I tell you, watch this. The earthquake was interesting. When I started to look up the earthquake, I noticed something, that in Jesus' day, there were two prominent earthquakes that took place. One time when Jesus was on the cross dying for your sin and for my sin, the Bible said that the earth began to shake and there was an earthquake, and the centurion Roman soldier that mocked him and laughed at him, 1 minute after the earthquake took place, he was saying, surely this must be the Son of the living God. The other earthquake is right after that, because here Jesus is laying in the tomb and he is there, but yet on the early one Sunday morning he got out of the grave, and the Bible says that the earth began to shake and the angels rolled back the stone. My God in heaven, I think the earthquake is God's exclamation point to the world that God is doing something in these last days. It's surrounded in everything. Watch this. Because not only can you see these in the Bible, you see these all throughout history. How a famine hit Rome, all that evil nation and empire of Rome, all that conquered Jerusalem in 70 AD. Well, in about 400 to 500 AD, here is the same nation, the same great empire, and a famine hits, and about 90% of the population of Rome is wiped out because of this famine that hits this land. Pestilence can also be looked at as not only just the fleas and the flies and the gnats and all the other kind of critters that we see. But pestilence can also be looked at as the microscopic organisms that we see. Like, for instance, in the 1300s, when the plague of the bubonic plague came through and wiped out millions, 75 million people throughout the history of that time, when the bubonic plagues were, and they were attributed to the fact that God was judging people because of their sin. That in the midst of all of that, that God was judging them. Now watch this. That in 1906, there again, I don't know. I ain't never been in an earthquake. Don't really want to go through an earthquake. But I just think it's interesting. That in 1906, the same day, actually, the day that the Azusa Street Revival happened and broke out in Los Angeles, California, 300 miles down the road in San Francisco, the day after, was the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906. And many that were reporting during that time said that God was trying to shake up people and wake them up to what God was doing in Los Angeles through the Holy Ghost revival in Azusa Street. In fact, in the book of Haggai in chapter 2, when he says that I'm going to send revival, and the revival of the latter house is going to be greater than the former house, he precedes those comments by saying, I will shake all nations. It's God's exclamation point. It is God's way of waking us up. I don't know this morning, but the church is largely asleep today, and we need a shaking and a waking in this house and in the churches all across America. We need to see God in the midst of our lives, and if God has to get a hold of us and shake us sometimes, that's what God has got to do. God's got to. Every now and then, you know how it is. You're trying to wake up somebody and they won't wake up. You've got to get down there and shake them. God is trying to get this church in line with what His coming is. And He's trying to shake us and move us and stir us, that these judgments of natural disasters would come to be used for God's judgment, number one, but then also to prove God's faithfulness. How many of you understand that in the midst of famine, in the midst of Joseph's life, when there was a famine in the land, and it could have been that the entire nation of Israel would have been wiped out then, but through the course, when they sold him into slavery, and he's there, and he's placed in second command under Pharaoh, and he's there and he has all the food in the storehouses, God saves the entire nation of Israel from famine. Why? Because God is faithful in the midst of calamity. That God is faithful in the midst of calamity. to, what does this have to do? What does this have to do with the end times? Watch this, because here are the multitude. I'm just going to give you some facts and then I'm a finished preaching. The multitude of natural disasters. Between the years 2000 and 2007, there have been 470 world disasters. That's a lot. And in the midst of 2008, 2005 was the highest one with 113 world disasters. 2007 was the second highest with 85 world disasters. And in the midst of 2008, we ain't looking too good right now. We've got a typhoon in the Philippines that has turned over a barge with 700 people in it. We have the cyclones in Myanmar, which is already reported to have killed multitudes, about 78,000 people. The earthquake that was in China, which has killed about 50,000 people. And even in the midst of our own United States of America, we've had a string of tornadoes come through. We've got wildfires in California. We've got floods in the Midwest right now as I speak. I preached in part of the land that's being flooded in now. I preached to the church that's in part of that land that's being flooded in now. Can I tell you, God is trying to wake us up and say, I'm doing this for a reason, because I want you to get ready, because I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. All of these things lead up to this very important thing, and that is the eschatological purpose, the way it relates to the end times. That's all eschatological. That was one of those fancy theological terms I learned in Bible college. It means how it relates to the end times. How it relates. Jesus said in the last, again, open your Bibles, pay attention to your Bibles, because in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, in verses 4 through 14, Jesus is not talking about the Great Tribulation. He is talking about the things that will happen before the rapture takes place. It is in verse 15 that he picks up with the Great Tribulation and the things that are going to happen afterwards. And Jesus is talking about these things that are going to happen before the rapture. In other words, before the rapture, there will be false Christs. Before the rapture, and there have been. Before the rapture, there will be those that will be deceived, and there will be a great falling away. Jesus is saying this. Before the rapture, there will be wars and rumors of wars. We're in a war now. We're hearing about a war that's coming. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations shall rise against nations. My God, I can't wait till next week. I'm trying to get to that. And famines and pestilence and earthquakes. These are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up and they shall persecute you. I know this ain't shouting ground, but you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because all of this will take place before the rapture happens. It'll just be increased afterwards. That all of these things take place. False prophets, all kinds of mess. This is what happens during these times, that tribulation will take place. Again, we see tribulation, and the tribulation, the pestilence and the disease and the famines and the things going on in the book of Revelation. You can look in Revelation chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 16, you can look at all of those chapters in the book of Revelation, and you can examine and find out where God is giving out devastation that is so much more worse. You think 50,000 dying in something, in an earthquake, is bad now? Wait till the mountains begin to crumble, and the land is flattened, and the rivers are dried up, and the ocean turns into blood. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to be there for that time. I don't want to be there when they're during those times. I want to make sure that everything is ready with me and my family for the coming of the Lord. I don't want to be there during those times. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows in the Greek language means birth pains. Do I have anybody out there that knows anything about birth pains? Birth pains. Birth pains are those contractions and those crampings. Now, me and you have to bear with me, because y'all don't know nothing about it. We hit our thumb with a hammer and the pain's there and then it goes away. But women have to endure this for 9 months.
or longer. Huh? And it's the contractions and the pain and the cramping and the nauseating and the throw up and everything else. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. And Jesus said, this is the birth pains of the world. In other words, the horror that is supposed to be given birth ain't given birth yet. We ain't seen the worst of it yet. These are just contractions and a little taste of what's going to happen in the tribulation period. You better thank God and count your blessings. You don't have it hard just yet, but wait till that thing gets birthed. He said, these are just, in studying earthquakes, you need to understand that during an earthquake, we know there's what's called aftershocks. That's tremors and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff after the big one. But not too many people realize that there are also foreshocks. That there are shocks and tremors that take place before the big one hits. How many of you understand that what Jesus is saying is, if I can use another illustration and analogy, is that what Jesus is saying is there are going to be all the things that you're experiencing now, the earthquakes in China, the typhoons in Philippines, the cyclones in Myanmar, all of these are foreshocks and a little taste of what they're going to have to endure in the tribulation period. I wish I could get some people that would agree with me. I ain't going there. I'm not going through the tribulation period. I'm going to be rapture ready. I'm going to be ready for Jesus Christ to come back. Jesus Christ. The purpose of these things are the same as it was in the Bible. Throughout the course of history in the Bible talks about the fact that that these things are from the judgment of God. These things are for the, one scholar put it this way, that the AIDS epidemic and all of these other diseases were because of the vast immorality and promiscuous lifestyle of people that destroy God's holy and moral law. Can I tell you that that is exactly the case? We can think all we want to, but can I tell you the AIDS epidemic started out of homosexuality and out of that sin of sodomy, that all these other kind of diseases. In fact, the Bible says if you will add more to what I've already written, and they have, if you'll add more and if you'll take away, I'm going to add more plagues and more things to you. I know it ain't a shouting message, but you need to understand we're living in the last days and God is trying to get us ready. He's trying to get us ready. Why? All right, let me take you through a scenario and then I'm going to be through. Why would God do these famines and pestilence and earthquakes? Because it sets the stage for the Antichrist. It sets the stage not only for the coming of the Lord, but it sets the stage for the Antichrist. Think about it. You have the wars and the rumors of wars. You have the famines that take place and the droughts and the pestilence and all kinds of other things. Gas prices are sky high. That ain't happening some off in some distant future. That's happening right now. Gas prices are sky high. There are food shortages all across the world right now. People can't decide whether they want to get corn for their gas or corn for their food. Hello? People cannot decide what they want to do. Oh, we're trying to grow stuff now to put it in our tanks instead of put in our bellies. We're trying to do all of these other things. And then we've got chaos and chaos. We've got a war going on in Iraq. And God knows only if we would ever to get out of that. I don't know if we'll ever get out of that. But we've got a war going on in Iraq right now where thousands of people are dying all across the world. And then it happens. Then. In the midst of all of the wars and the rumors and the vilest things and the pestilence and everything, there is a great famishing. Millions of people are gone. Y'all ain't like y'all ain't going. Millions of people are gone. Millions of children.
person in God's eyes are gone. They're vanished. They're disappeared. Millions of saints, I'm sorry to tell you, but it ain't going to be just the ones on Harker's Island. God said, I'm going to gather them from all four corners of the earth. I'm going to pull them out of every land, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every kingdom. Millions all across this world are going to be gone. Now, somebody's going to come up with a brilliant thought. Somebody's going to come up with a thought that nuclear radiation, somebody that ain't read the word, that nuclear radiation and all kinds of polluting the environment is what caused these millions to vanish. Huh? Somebody is going to come up with a thought, or the reason why we have all these pestilence and famines and earthquakes is because of the nuclear radiation that's going on. That we've done it to ourselves. And we probably have done a little bit of it to ourselves. But that's what somebody's going to come up with. And then, right then and there, in the midst of that chaos, will rise up one that Paul calls the man of sin. The son of perdition. Jesus called him the abomination that desolates. The Antichrist will rise up in the midst of all of this chaos that's going on and say, I got the answers. Oh, he ain't going to be hefty like I am. He's going to be slim and trim and have a $1 million smile and a $1 million hairdo. And he's going to have everything that he can have and say, I've got the peace and I've got hope and I've got the answers to every... Someone help me out. Am I getting it about right? Am I getting it about right? That he's going to come up and say, oh, I've got the answer to your pestilence problem, and I've got the answer to your famines, and I've got the answer to your earthquakes, and I've got the answer to your gas prices, and I've got the answer to all of these things. Somebody is... No. He's not going to be right now after the rapture takes place. The Bible says, I know I'm skipping ahead, but I got to get where I need to get. Then the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that it is after the restrainer is pulled out of the earth, then the man of sin, then the son of perdition will show the restrainer. Who's the restrainer? The restrainer is the Holy Ghost. For without the Holy Ghost, we would have sin rampant in our lives. Where is the Holy Ghost right now? Can I tell you, it's not in his wood. It's not in this pew. It's not on that wood up on that pulpit. The Holy Ghost is living inside of me and inside of you. What is Paul saying? When the restrainer, the raptured saints of God, are pulled out of this earth, then, our Antichrist will rise and will say, I've got peace. Let me fix your problems. Let me. That's right. Don't. If I'm Antichrist, don't you grab my hand. If I can fix your problems. I can. What does Jeremiah say? In that day, they will cry peace, peace. When there is no peace, for he will give a sense of false peace and a sense of false security. And he'll try to take care. In fact, the Bible, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible says this, that he will try to take care of everything in the space of 3.5 years. It's actually a 7-year contract, but we understand it to be 3.5 years of those things. Oh, the Antichrist is going to shine, and he's going to gleam, and he's going to do everything that's good and right, and he's going to do all these kind of other wonderful things to give you false peace and false security. And then the next 3.5 years, you're going to see judgment after judgment after judgment, because the only thing the Antichrist wants to do is to set up his control and his kingdom. Jesus said, in the last days, you're going to see famines and pestilence and earthquakes. Why? Because I am setting the stage for the Antichrist to come. I'm setting the stage for the Antichrist to come. And then the Antichrist is going to do his thing. And he's going to mess around with this earth for a little while. But I'm really setting the stage that when in Revelation chapter 19, they see the Son of Man coming in glory. That they see the Son of Man coming in glory. And he's riding upon a white horse. And his saints are following right behind him. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten questions. What are we going to be like when we're up in heaven? I don't know exactly what we're going to be like. But all I know is the Bible says that there's a multitude of saints that follow after. So it might be just the fact that the Brian Williams I'm looking at right now is the same Brian Williams that in the coming of the Lord, that with his saints, he will come and take victory over the enemy and the dead. Oh, and he's going to judge the world. And he's going to take the old buzzard by the nape of the neck. And he's going to throw him in the lake of fire. And forever, he's going to be tormented. He's going to get what's coming to him. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God Almighty can take him and throw him in the lake of fire where he'll be tormented for day in and day out. Why should we get excited over famines and pestilence and earthquakes? Because we know that the Lord is coming back, and he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Watch this, and I'm closing. How should we be? How should we be? Watch this. The Bible says for Christians, we ought to be like this. This is what Peter said. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, and who hath called us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a little while, he shall make you perfect, and he shall establish you, and he shall strengthen you. Can I tell you what he's telling us as Christians are? Keep on living the holy way you're living, and keep on being prepared for the coming of the Lord. Now to the sinners, this is what he's saying. To the church of the Laodiceans, I write these things unto you. This is to the church of the religious folk that come into the house of God, and they come out of habit. They don't come to get saved, they come out of habit. This is to you. He says, you think that you're rich and increased with goods, but the fact is, you are poor and desolate and destitute. That's what it says to the church of the sinners. That's what it says to the congregation of the sinners and the heathens, that you are desolate and you are destitute. And he says, if you're not careful, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I am so disgusted. God is saying this. God says, I'm so disgusted with your religiosity and how you got your name on every roll in the book in the, across the country. It doesn't matter. I am disgusted with your religiosity, and it will not get you anywhere but straight to hell. But thank God for the words of Jesus, for he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you'll just let me in, I will come in and I'll sup with you. Jesus is calling today for you to come in. He's calling you to come in. Won't you let him in? He's saying, why don't you escape this mess that's going to take place? Stay with me, please. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you play softly and tenderly? Jesus is calling. calling for you and for me. We need to make sure that our lives are ready. Everything. If you'll read the Bible, you will find out that everything is falling right in place. Everything is falling right in place. That there are famines and pestilence and earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, false Christ, deceiving, the falling away of the true church. Everything is falling right into place. Why? Because God has an arrow set. There's a terminology when Jesus, for the last time, Jesus was out, and the Bible says that he set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to die on a cross. And he set his face toward Jerusalem. I'm telling you right now, God is setting his face for the return of his son. He is setting his face, and he wants us ready. If you're lost in this place, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're lost in this place, you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to meet the Lord in the air. If I were to die right now, I know I'd spend eternity in hell." You need to leave your pew right now. You need to leave your pew right now and come down to this altar and make it all right with him. Jesus is not... Oh, I know the Bible says that he's coming like a thief in the night. He's coming to gather his saints. But while he's dealing with you sinners, all he's doing, you know what he's doing? He's not pressing in. He's not beating you over the head. The preacher might, but he's not. All he's doing is standing at the door of your heart. Can I come in? Can I come in? Please. If you keep hardening your heart, you might only notice it just a little bit. And if you continue to harden your heart against God, you may not hear him knocking at all. God have mercy on your soul.